It is now with pleasure then that I call upon Brother Dennis Southall of the Napton Enclosure to give to us the subject, The Whirlwind of Yahweh.
My dear brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Gulf Crisis, as it has been termed, is maybe over. But let us have no feelings of uncertainty or any indefinite ideas, for the greatest conflict of all time is soon to descend upon the kingdom of men. And the Father has declared through his prophet Joel, let us just turn to this passage of Scripture, the book of prophet of Joel chapter 3 and verse 14, that the nations of the earth are being gathered together into their allotted positions, ready for this great day of threshing. And so Joel records, chapter 3 and verse 14, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, or in the depth, or as heaps of sheaves for threshing. For the day of Yahweh is near in the depth of threshing. The sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. Yahweh shall roar out of Zion, and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake. And this powerful vision of the latter days, when Yahweh's vehicle of war, the chariot of the cherubim, will go forth in judgment, it will be violent, it will be decisive, and the day of opportunity will have passed. The vast harvest of the Gogian fleshly multitude of wickedness and evil, together with the apostate doctrines of Babylon, with all her ruling powers and corrupt idol worshippers, will be thrown into the winepress of the wrath of the Mighty One of Israel, and they will be completely dissolved, so that Yahweh's Son of Righteousness might be revealed with all his omnipotent ministers, the one body of the one eternal Spirit, to execute all that the Father has determined. And the perfected development of this one glorious body of the redeemed that will roar forth from Zion, clothed with the eternal Spirit of energy and strength, the voice of the Father's commanding words springing forth from their lips, like the sounding of many waters, with all its authority, is beautifully revealed to us in the prophecy of Habakkuk chapter 3. His vision of this time, the progressive unfolding in the latter days of the whirlwind of Yahweh. Now in verses 3 and 4, Habakkuk chapter 3, he sees the rising up of Christ and the saints, Yahweh's glory manifested in them. In verse 3, we read, God, or Eloah, the Mighty One made manifest in Christ, came from Teman. And the word Teman means the south, the region of Sinai. Verse 3, and the Holy One from Mount Paran. And Brother Thomas in Eureka renders these words in their future application. And he says, Eloah shall come in from the south, and his Holy One. And the word one there is both singular and plural in the Hebrew. And it is indicative of holy ones. And they will come from Mount Paran, that arid region of the desert in the south, from which the most violent winds of Palestine come. And who, as in the last words of verse 3 and also verse 4 indicate, will in their spiritual sense, as the whirlwind of Yahweh, dispel the darkness which is upon this earth. And so we read verse 3, His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of His praise, and His brightness was as the light, and He had horns coming out of His hand, or as the Hebrew renders it, bright beams out of His side, rays of piercing light, which flashed forth. Verse 4, And there was the hiding, or the concealment, the place of His power. It's all vividly descriptive that out of the waste plains of the desert, a mighty army is going to arise. The kings of the sun's rising, who's going forth bearing the name of the Father in warlike manifestation, will be like flashes of fire and as a whirlwind to fall upon the nations for their wickedness, to bury Gog in the mountains of Israel with pestilence and overflowing rain. So that, as Habakkuk declares in verse 13 of this third chapter, the nation and the land of Israel, of which we have heard about today, the center foundation, the focal point of the whole divine purpose, that the nation and the land of Israel might be cleansed from all the pollution that has been upon them, and all their wounds healed, so that through them a new dawn might arise upon this darkened earth. And so the prophet declares, chapter 3 and verse 13, Thou wentest forth for the salvation of thy people, for the salvation with thine anointed. And this anointed one is the one body of Christ glorified with Him. It is the prophetic message of Psalm 68. Let's look at the words. They are beautiful. It is the cherubic chariots of the Mighty One of Israel, which will move forward with irresistible fury and judgment. And in verse 4 of Psalm 68 we read, Extol Him that rideth upon the heavens by His name Yah. And the word heavens there is translated as Arabah, or through the deserts, or the waste plains. It is that barren area of land south of the Dead Sea, in the neighbourhood of Seir. And so the verse now reads, Extol Him that rideth through the waste plains, through the deserts, by His name of Yah. And this vast host of mighty ones, which will come up from Sinai in warlike manifestation, are the chariots of Elohim, referred to in verse 17 of this psalm, the vehicle in which the power and the might of Yahweh will ride, so that they might come up to their holy habitation in Mount Zion. And so in verse 17 we read, The chariots of Elohim are 20,000, even thousands of angels. And the word angels there means thousands repeated. A great, massed, mighty multitude. And then we read in verse 17, Yahweh is among them, as in Sinai, the holy place. And the Companion Bible more powerfully renders those words in the future tense. Yahweh hath come from Sinai into his sanctuary. So this then is the nature and the form of this mighty army of Yahweh. The march of the rainbowed angel, seen in the vision of the Apostle John, recorded in the Apocalypse chapter 10, which will roll forward in vigorous motion, revealing the eternal power of the Father as a whirlwind. But we need to understand it, brethren and sisters. We need to understand the doctrine of its structure, which makes its operation so mighty, that we might be amongst it in that glorious day. The word whirlwind in the first example is translated in the Hebrew as soar, and it indicates a rushing, shuddering storm, which in its whirling, revolving motion agitates, tosses, and desolates all that is in its path. It is brought before us in Jeremiah chapter 25 and at verse 31, where the prophet refers to the growth and the development of that agitating, repulsive spirit which will sweep the earth in the latter days, the days in which we live, creating, because of its revolving motion, a state of intoxicated dizziness amongst the nations. And we see it today. It is one of the most powerful signs of our age. And it's represented by those three unclean spirits referred to in the Apocalypse chapter 16, which come out of the mouth of the dragon and the beast and the false prophet. It is Catholicism and communism joined together in the spirit of madness, and it leads to war, which must be destroyed by Yahweh of armies, when he will roar from Zion in his chariots of salvation against the inhabitants of the earth. And so Jeremiah declares of this time, chapter 25 and verse 31, a noise shall come from the ends of the earth. And the word noise there means, in the Hebrew, the sons of a multitude. And the ends of the earth carries the meaning from the desert. So here is a glorious picture of the saints. Verse 31. For Yahweh hath a controversy with the nations. He will plead with all flesh. He will give them that are wicked to the sword, saith Yahweh. Thus saith Yahweh of armies, evil shall go forth from nation to nation, and a great whirlwind shall be raised up from the coasts of the earth. And the word coasts there means the extreme regions. It's indicative of all nations. All of them will be involved in this great controversy. Verse 33. And the slain of Yahweh shall be at that day from one end of the earth unto the other end of the earth. They shall not be lamented, neither gathered, nor buried. They shall be dung upon the ground. And this day of Yahweh's vengeance is brought before us again in the 30th chapter and at verse 23. When he will go forth in his chariots of the whirlwind against the fleshly powers of Gentile political power, against the house of Esau with all its evil weapons of war. They will be like sheep gathered into the sheepfold, ready for slaughter. And so Jeremiah records chapter 30 and verse 23. Behold, the whirlwind of Yahweh goeth forth with fury, a continuing whirlwind. It shall fall with pain upon the head of the wicked. The fierce anger of Yahweh shall not return until he hath performed the intents of his heart. In the latter days ye shall consider it. And the word consider means to have understanding. It means more than that, brethren and sisters. It doesn't mean just to have understanding. It means to perceive with skill the time of the latter days. It means that we need to study and understand and read the divine word and all those faithful books of the pioneers that have helped us to understand it. Not all these modern versions which adulterate the divine word. Perceive with skill. Daniel chapter 11 and verse 40, which gives to us a greater dimension of this time. We've heard part of this from our brother Philip this morning, when the Gogian Confederacy, agitated by the whirling influence of the papacy, which is so hostile to the nation of Israel, will suddenly descend upon Turkey to become the occupant of Constantinople, ready to enter into the territories allotted to him as the king of the north, in the divine purpose, thinking that evil thought. Recorded to us in Ezekiel chapter 38, to descend like a cloud with devastating force upon the Holy Land, upon those at our rest, those that dwell confidently, having neither bars nor gates. And it's a prosperity, we believe, which will soon emerge from under the guardianship of Tarshish and her allies, of which Brother Don made clear to us this afternoon. And they will be entrenched in Sheba and Dedan, the king of the south. It's all controlled by the hand of Yahweh for the furtherance of his purpose. And so Daniel testifies of this whirlwind, chapter 11 and verse 40. And at the time of the end shall the king of the south push at him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots and with horsemen and with many ships. And he shall enter into the countries, and shall overflow, and shall pass over, and he shall enter into the glorious land. But the great significance of these events is further emphasized for us in the prophecy of Zechariah chapter 6, verses 1 to 3. We can't go into great detail here, but the prophet sees in vision, which is full of spiritual importance. He sees four chariots. And these four chariots go between two mountains of brass. And they are drawn by four horses, who are described as being red and black and white, and the last one of no particular colour, bay, which means swift and active. Now, the brass in verse 1 is that impure substance which comes out of the earth. It is red in its colour. It is known as copper. It is a symbol of sin. And its association with the two mountains of brass is representative of that dominating power of the corrupting flesh of the latter days. It is the Russian Assyrian Gog. And it's related in its character to the brazen body and thighs of Nebuchadnezzar's image. It's also representative of the claws of brass of the fourth beast, which at the time of the end have inherited all the apostate images of Greek and Egyptian mythology. And it will occupy, as we've already heard, the territories once covered by these powers. Turkey, Syria, and Assyria, the king of the north, subjecting, as Isaiah declared in the 19th chapter of his prophecy, and at verse 4, the land of Egypt. Egypt will come under its brassy dominion, and it will be given into the hands of a cruel lord, and a fierce king shall rule over them. And this evil storm cloud of aggression under Gog's despotic leadership, when the land and the people of Israel are greatly discomforted, will bring into living reality the prophetic words of Obadiah, verse 21. Let's just look at those words. It is the manifestation of the four chariot spirits of the heavens. It is the glorious Christ body of the one man, who throughout the ages have been disciplined and developed upon the principles of obedience and belief in the Israelitish hope, the exceeding great and precious promises. And they now appear with divine authority for the salvation of the people in the land of Israel, that they might be made willing in this day of his power to administer the judgments upon this earth. And so Obadiah declares in verse 21, "And saviour shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be Yahweh's." And these saviours, and the word here means bestowing salvation, these saviours are the chariots of Zechariah's vision. Chapter 6. And in the 6th chapter of Zechariah and at verse 5, they are declared to be the four spirits of the heavens which go forth from standing before the ruler of the earth. And they are the cherubim of glory in their fourfold revelation. And in their motion, they are like a wheel. They are full of eyes. They are burning with fire. They are intelligent, immortalized beings. And they graphically fulfill that which Isaiah describes in the 66th chapter of his prophecy. The chariots of Israel in which the saints will ride, the whirlwind of Yahweh. And they will crush, and they will consume, and they will devastate, and they will destroy as they roll forward in their conflict with the nations. And so Isaiah declares, chapter 66 and verse 15, "For behold, Yahweh will come with fire, and with his chariots like a whirlwind, to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and by his sword will Yahweh plead with all flesh, and the slain of Yahweh will be many. Now when we turn to Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 14, the ultimate purpose of this mighty multitude, this multitude of mighty ones, is revealed. And what is that purpose? Zechariah chapter 9, it is to liberate Israel from their bondage to the house of Esau. And this word whirlwind now takes on a greater dimension of meaning. It is the masculine Hebrew word sa'ar, and it indicates to rush upon. It is the voice of Yahweh. It's like a two-edged sword. It is the spirit of his mouth. But from that word, there comes also a feminine word, Seorah. And it's expressive of a mighty, whirling, rushing wind. And this mighty rushing wind is filled with the spirit of life. It is the saints, splendid with brightness. It's revealed in that militant title, Yahweh Tsevaoth, he who will be mighty one of armies, out of whom a stream of fire will issue forth. Daniel chapter 11, 7, the Ancient of Days. It is the vengeance of divine indignation, and it will be in their hands, the saints. And so Zechariah declares, chapter 9 and verse 14, and Yahweh shall be seen over them, that is over Judah and Israel, and his arrow shall go forth as lightning. And Adonai Yahweh, he who is the great ruler of mighty ones, shall blow the trumpet and shall go with the whirlwinds of the south. And so in this verse, Judah is the drawn bow, Ephraim is the arrow, and the trumpet that is in the hand of Yahweh is the Lord Jesus anointed, now glorified in his immortal brethren, unto whom the gathering of the people will be, Jews and Gentiles of all ages. And the lightning is that devastating power, undeviating, irresistible in its motion. It is the burning ones, the seraphim of Isaiah, the eternal spirit now visible in a multitude of living beings, the whirlwind of Yahweh, unto whom authority has been given to execute the judgments that are written. How beautifully does Ezekiel in chapter 1 describe this to us in his visions of glory. This four square community of the camp of spiritual Israel. Let's turn to Ezekiel chapter 1. Because they are likened in their motion to a swift cloud, upon which the eternal spirit will ride. And it will never rest. It will never stop. The four spirits of the heavens are intense. They are endless. And they will subdue. And they will quiet the earth. And so Ezekiel sees them in chapter 1 and verse 4 as a whirlwind coming out of the north. A great cloud and a fire enfolding itself. And a brightness was about it. And out of the midst thereof was the colour of amber out of the midst of the fire. And at the end of verse 5 he says, they had the likeness of a man. And this whirlwind, a great cloud, as if a mass of fire had taken hold of it, is, as Psalm 104 and verse 3 declares, in beautiful figurative language. You keep your finger in Ezekiel chapter 1, but look at Psalm 104. And this whirlwind, as though a mass of fire had taken hold of it, is, as this psalm declares, and verse 3, in powerful figurative language, that mighty army which is not of human operation, or of flesh and blood. It is the great cloud of faithful witnesses who have spent their life striving, as we do, brethren and sisters, in this age, striving to develop a likeness to the Father through His Son, by the Word. And they now appear in their brilliance, swift as the wind, penetrating as fire in the execution of their work. So the psalmist says, Psalm 104 and verse 3, concerning this whirlwind of Yahweh, who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds his chariots, who walketh upon the winds of the wind, who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers flaming fire. And this powerful cherubic warlike manifestation was that which Elisha also saw in symbology when Elijah was taken up from him, those chariots and horses of fire which filled the mountains of Israel. And they will fill the mountains of Israel again for their salvation. It expresses the work of the red horses. The red horses were representative of a period of war in which they will appear. And then in Isaiah chapter 19 and verse 1, the chariots of the Spirit are portrayed as being swift and rapid in their motion. And they will come up from Sinai as pillars of fire. The march of the rainbowed angel to relieve Egypt of its cruel lord, the Gogian oppressor, and to provide a highway that cleansed and reformed Israel might return to their land. And so Isaiah declares, chapter 19 and verse 1, the burden or the lifting up of Egypt. Behold, Yahweh rideth upon a swift cloud, and shall come into Egypt, and the idols of Egypt shall be moved at his presence, and the heart of Egypt shall melt in the midst of it. And so when we go back to Ezekiel chapter 1 and at verse 4, it reveals to us that the origin of this great cloud of witnesses which comes forth as Yahweh's whirlwind is from out of the north. And this out of the north is not in any sense a geographical location of which Ezekiel sees. The word north here is a reference to the dark and the obscure places of the earth. It is the grave. And those that come are those that have heard the voice of the Master, because they have been remembered by him. Their names are written in the book of life. These are the children of the resurrection. And they will come forth appearing, as verse 13 of this first chapter declares, as a flashing cloud of fire, like burning coals of fire, to purge and to cleanse and to purify. And their colour, in verse 4, is likened to amber. And amber is descriptive of their purity and their perfection. It is their spirit nature. And the word colour there in the Hebrew indicates the eye, the entrance or the fountain of light. And the word amber is related to the words shining and splendid. It carries the meaning also brass, which has been made smooth and polished. It's also translated as the word electron, which describes a mixture of gold and silver, which was highly prized by the ancients of old for its brilliance and for its beauty. This is the glorious picture of the whirlwind of Yahweh in motion. Those that have come to deliver Judah from the Assyrian when he cometh into their land, who as the rainbowed angel will take away the dominion of the first three beasts of Daniel chapter 7, and who as the companions of the lion of the tribe of Judah will execute that great and terrible day of Yahweh, when the seven thunders will utter their voices, and the Laodicean apostasy will fall, and the earth will be freed from the ignorance and superstition that has demoralized it for so long. And each member of this great army of the whirlwind will have a refined golden faith, tried and perfected in the fire, like unto gold. And they will be ransomed and redeemed like unto silver. And so Ezekiel declares in chapter 1 and verse 7, their feet were straight feet. That means they were right and they were upright. And the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot, a symbol of treading down, of judgment. And they sparkled like the colour of burnished brass. Brass, the flesh, which has been made smooth and polished, refined in the fire, made pure, shining in splendour with divine light. And so the prophet Isaiah, in that beautiful prophetic vision of what is to come in the latter days, in chapter 21 and verse 9, sees the whirlwind of Yahweh, the fury of the mighty one of Israel, manifested in his holy ones. And it's poured out in its finality upon the false prophet and all who have become intoxicated with Babylon's wine, and all her abominations, who in the final struggle have set themselves against Zion's king, who will, as Isaiah declares, receive of that terrible threshing from Yahweh's cherubic chariots of the eternal spirit. And so Isaiah records chapter 21 and verse 9. And behold, here cometh a chariot of men with a couple of horsemen. And he answered and said, lovely prophetic vision here. Babylon is fallen. Is fallen, and all the graven images of her gods he hath broken unto the ground. Without doubt, the couple of horsemen and the chariot of men are representative of that which Ezekiel now reveals in chapter 10 of his prophecy. And how beautiful this is. It is the symbol of the wheel. It is the Elohim of Israel, The one eternal Spirit manifested in the two anointed ones who stand by the ruler of all the earth. It is the four living ones of the apocalypse, full of eyes, which when in motion will go forth in that new and cleansed military organization, the chariot of Israel, to thresh the nations. So Ezekiel chapter 10 and verse 10. And as for their appearance, they four had one likeness, as if a wheel had been in the midst of a wheel. And verse 13, as for the wheels, it was cried unto them in my hearing, O wheel. And the primary meaning of the word wheel is rendered as a rolling, whirling thing, which Ezekiel in chapter 1 and verse 18 declared that they were so great that they were dreadful. They are Yahweh's chariots of salvation, endless in perfection, in which he will ride the saints in their conquests, streams of fire. They were so great that they were dreadful. But it is more than that. For in the Hebrew, two words are used for wheel, and they both appear in verse 13 of this 10th chapter. And the one word is ophan, which means a circle, and the other is galgal, which means to roll. And both are interchangeable, but there is a significance in their use. The lava in the tabernacle was a circle. It was singular, it was stationary, but it was used for the cleansing of Israel and for the crushing of sin. But the lavas in Solomon's temple were tenfold, and they had wheels, symbols of the rolling, progressive, unfolding movement, the going forth of the gospel of purification in the age to come by the whirlwind of Yahweh. And so Ezekiel in chapter 10 and verse 13 brings to us the powerful significance which is revealed. Verse 13, as for the wheels, ophan, circles, the cleansing and crushing of sin, it was said to them in my hearing, O wheel, galgal, roll on in purification. And here is the whirlwind of Yahweh, with all its limitless power, the glorified community of the saints who whirl like wheels within a wheel by the Spirit of life which is within them, even when they are standing still. And every one being, as Ezekiel declares in the first chapter at verse 24, in their movement, represented by the wings, they are as the noise of great waters. They are as the voice of the Almighty. They are as the voice of speech. They are as the noise of a host. Brethren and sisters, this is a picture of the tremendous concentrations of pure divine power. And it will go forth in the hands of the saints to preach the everlasting gospel unto them that dwell upon the earth, to cleanse the earth of all her plagues, so that all might fear Yahweh and give glory to him. And his glorious purpose will roll on. The glorious purpose of purification, unrestrained in its brilliance, splendid in its sight. And it will be seen in the midst of Judah and Jerusalem, of which we are about to hear.